And today on the phone with me, Center Arts is presenting Kathy Griffin. And guess what? She's on the phone with me today. She's coming to town on Saturday, August 27th, and she'll be performing at HSU's Van Duzer Theater beginning at 7 o'clock. It looks like it's an earlier show. And good afternoon, Kathy.
Katie, when you think about it, 7 p.m. is maybe a little too early for the amount of filth and vitriol I'm going to be spilling from the stage that night.
I know.
So keep in mind, it's 7 p.m., it's still light out. But please bring your negativity hat so we can have some fun.
So tell us about, you're on your Like a Boss tour, right?
Katie, I'm in the middle of an 80-city tour. I think I've lost my mind. 80 cities in 1 year. Sometimes I issue challenges to myself, and I don't really know why till later, but I love it. I am playing everywhere. I'm so excited to see you guys Saturday at the Van Duzer at 7, and I am going everywhere. Fox News has nothing on me, lady. I'm seeing the real America. I have been everywhere on this tour, from Sydney Opera House to Carnegie Hall to the Kennedy Center to a casino in Pottawatomie, Wisconsin. I will go wherever people want to laugh. And, of course, I feel it's important that I shine a light on the important issues of today, like Cher spouting off on Donald Trump, which has been glorious. I don't know if you've read her comments or saw her last night on Lawrence O'Donnell, but she just let it fly. He's an idiot, which I've never been prouder of her, not Trump.
I was going to ask you, how do you get all your material? You have to constantly be... Well, you're in the mix already if you live in L.A., but how do you get all your material? Are you constantly watching and looking and behind the scenes with everybody?
Yes, that is exactly my formula. Mm-hmm. I am in the mix indeed, because I'm certainly an observer of all things crazy and comedic and pop culture, but I also insert myself into these situations, whether the people around me, you know, like it or not. And so, you know, this election is a perfect storm, because I actually know Donald Trump, and I say that with nothing but complete shame, but I've run into him many times over the years. So I now have these incredible stories for my act where I have had personal run-ins with the Donald. So I'm going to tell you stories on Saturday night that you can't hear from anybody else. And one of them actually entails me spending the day with Donald Trump and Liza Minnelli, and you're just not going to hear that anyplace else. It has all the elements, all the bells and whistles that you would like. It really shows Trump for who he is. And also, who doesn't want a little Liza thrown into any story?
Exactly.
So I do. I seek these events out, and then I share them with the audience.
Uh-huh. I've seen that. And you've got some really classic lines and classic people. I was watching a video last night of you on The View, trying to find Barbara Walters, your story about her from the stage you tell. That was hysterical. You went into the bathroom.
Thank you.
Yeah, you went into the bathroom and tried to find her.
Yeah, I chased her down.
You told me.
Because I love Barbara Walters, even though she can't stand me. And I don't think it's necessary for both parties to like each other to have a very fruitful relationship. So, you know, when I go on The View, and, you know, Barbara's not on anymore, but I was very excited, by the way. I was included in last night's, like, the best of The View, like, 25 years. For a rather now infamous, I'm going to say issue I had with Elizabeth Hasselbeck on the air live, where she tried to, like, step up to me and confront me, but she's, you know, Hasselbeck. She was on Survivor,
right.
A show Survivor. And so I was excited to be in the mix, as you would say. But, yeah, one time I was so convinced that Barbara Walters was just simply avoiding me, which happens, that I actually followed her into the bathroom and just knocked on her stall until one of the producers came and basically saved her.
You are just a bulldog then that way.
I am persistent.
Uh-huh.
It is the pursuit of comedy, shame, and honor that I pursue concurrently. But I love touring more than anything. And look, I love, you know, I've done 23 stand-up specials. I have 2 Emmys. I have a Grammy for Best Comedy Album.
Yeah.
And by the way, one of only 3 women in the history of the Grammys to win for Best Comedy Album. Only 3 chicks in all these years. So I take pride in all of that. But I still have a childlike love for every single time I get to hit the stage. I mean, just this week alone, it's like I'm talking to you, and I'm open to whatever crazy thing can happen or just happened. I went to, you know, just last week, I went to the Barbra Streisand dress rehearsal with Broadway's and television's Kristen Chenoweth. So a story like that is just chock full of, you never know who you're going to run into, who you're going to sit near. There's a feeling whenever you go see Barbra Streisand, even at a giant arena, that you could somehow be in trouble. You know, she's kind of tough.
Yeah.
But being a gay man, of course, I love her and accept her for who she is.
The inner gay man that you have going on.
That's right.
I know.
I basically have the gay men's chorus inside my body.
I know.
I don't even know if I have just one gay man inside me anymore. I think there are several.
Well, you know, I posted to my Facebook page. I asked people if you could ask Kathy a question, what would it be? And actually, our development director said, tell me about your support for and from the LGBT community, and how did that relationship start?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because, you know, the way we came together, the gays and myself, or the LGBTQIA2345 Caitlin community, and myself, I'll keep up with any letter or number you want. But, you know, it was truly an organic kind of relationship, because, you know, ever since I can remember, I was just, you know, since first grade, it's like I found the little gay boy and he found me, and I was like the homely girl with freckles, and I would try to make him laugh. And, you know, if there was a gay kid at my small Catholic school, I would find him. And, you know, maybe he was an introvert, and so I'd make him laugh, and then we became buds. I mean, in high school, this may be a shock, but I was never asked to the prom or the homecoming or anything. But remember the Sadie Hawkins dance where the girls asked the boys?
Yes.
Which you probably can't even, like, legally do anymore. But just so you know, after five guys turned me down, I just turned to my gay best friend, Tom, and I said, oh, let's just go and have fun. And we did. And I officiated Tom's wedding last year.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
Well, it is a question, though, for scientists. And I'm glad to be playing, you know, at a school, by the way. You know, go Lumberjacks. And it is a question for the scientists, which came first? You know, I mean, is being gay genetic or environmental? Mm-hmm. And I think it's genetic unless you're around me, and then I could turn you gay. So I think in most cases, most scientists will say it's genetic, but I think if you happen to be my friend and then you turn gay, I don't know whose doing that was. It could have been mine.
Uh-huh. You know, I was talking with my sister yesterday about you, and I said, you know, she's really an amazing person.
Oh, Katie, keep talking.
We've been watching you through the years and watch how, you know, you grew up. There were some hard times, as you just said, you know, going to Catholic school, and you have a fairly big family, but you transformed yourself. You were with the Groundlings for a while down in L.A., but you've come through, and watching you change and mold to fit Hollywood and to fit what you want to do, you're pretty strong and very petite. You look very petite to me and very tiny. And I said, you know, she's really a beautiful woman. I know she knows this, but I wonder what she does on her downtime, and I wonder where she's, you know, do you get downtime? And I wonder how she feels about herself now from where you first started. You know,
I love that question and the compliments.
Yeah.
I'm 55 years old. And, you know, when I started, I mean, I've been trying to do this. I think I did my first commercial when I was 18 for the Chicago White Sox in Chicago, Illinois, where, by the way, I sat in the stands of Ben Comiskey Park and sang, or rather played, Na Na, Hey Hey, Goodbye on a kazoo. So there's my overnight success story. That was me in Chicago when I was 18. And yeah, and then I moved to Los Angeles and wanted to work at a situation comedy, and that took me, you know, 10 years, if not more.
Right.
And the looks thing has always been an issue, and there's a tremendous amount of sexism and ageism in this business. And frankly, I didn't know how bad it was until I started doing stand-up. Because being a comedic actress, that's, you know, that's already an uphill battle, but being a female stand-up, that's a very, very small club, you know.
Right.
It was funny because I was at an event on Saturday at Sarah Silverman's house, and I was there, and Chelsea Handler was there, and Sarah was there, and I know it sounds silly, but we do kind of all find each other, and, you know, we all know each other and support each other. And it was funny. Somebody wanted Sarah to make remarks, and I heard Sarah go, I'm not in the mood. Can't Chelsea or Kathy do it? And I thought, yeah, that's how small our club is. You know, you go to an event, it's like either Sarah, Chelsea, or Kathy will all basically kind of do the same thing. Because there's like pretty much only the three of us. You know what I mean? And then there's kind of these other, you know, I don't want to say generations, but, you know, my mentors, of course, were everyone from, you know, Mobbs Mabley and Toadie Fields and Phyllis Diller to, of course, my good pal Joan Rivers. And then, you know, Joan, she blazed a trail for herself in a way that's always been inspirational to me. And then when we became buddies, I couldn't believe it. And I've just noticed, you know, she said something to me that was really interesting. She said, you know, people always lump me in with Phyllis Diller, and I think Joan was like 20 years younger than Phyllis. Mm-hmm. And I thought, yeah, there's so few chick comics who stay in the game and do it. And like you said, you got to mold and change with whatever, you know, whatever is sort of the thing that's being bought at the time, you know, whether for me it was, sometimes it was a sitcom, sometimes it was a reality show, sometimes it was a talk show. So yeah, you're constantly, when you're a woman in this business, you're constantly saying, okay, you know, I'm going to try this now, or I'm going to change with this time in this way. And that's one of the things I work on every day, you know. And I love that you pointed out my tiny and fit frame, because I do work out every day.
I know.
If I can get to something really important in the world.
Oh. You're so tiny. You really are. If you're just tuned in, I'm talking with Kathy Griffin. She's coming to town. She's doing a performance at the Van Duzer Theater this Saturday, beginning at 7 o'clock. And at the end of this interview, I will indeed have some tickets to give away. So I do hope you stay tuned, listening to Kathy and I talk back and forth. And again, she's on an 80-city tour. And an amazing comic. And now I'm wondering, just sort of prep me for you, I was going through, a lot of people are negative towards you.
I know.
How do you deal with that? I know you've got your public face and then you've got your, I'm not, you know, in the spotlight right now. Does it really... I would think it would affect you after a while.
Oh, it totally affects me. Yeah. I mean, you know, look, one of the reasons I tour so much is because, honestly, there's nothing like it. Because that is the one place, Saturday when I'm on stage at 7 p.m., it's the one place where I don't have some, like, middle-aged, unattractive white dude telling me I'm not hot enough. I don't have some network executive who's also a dude telling me what people like to laugh at. Because that's the beauty of touring, is they're right there. So the beauty of touring is it's kind of the purest form of comedy, because the audience will obviously let you know on a second-by-second basis, you know, what they're into. And the good thing, you know, and that's one of the reasons that I do it so much and I love it, is that's one of the things that gives me so much, like, joy. Because when it comes to comedy, and certainly comedy and television, which is the medium I work in the most, you know, it's rough, and you deal with just so much straight-up sexism and ageism. I don't know if you're aware of what's going on with Leslie Jones, but, you know, she's the African-American girl in Ghostbusters, and she's wildly talented. And there's, like, a lot of people, I mean, granted, this is social media. In her real life, she's doing freaking great. But there's a lot of people. There's almost like a movement to, for some reason, tear her down all over the internet, like people sending her photos of gorillas and really nasty stuff. And today she was hacked for real, like not fun hacked where there's one cute, you know, but like really people actually got her personal info and stuff like that that could kind of life ruining. So I'm going to just be honest. I truly think a lot of that stuff happens, and it's just straight up racism, ageism, and sexism. And I'm super thrilled, obviously, at the great work that Amy Schumer is able to do and Lena Dunham and all those ladies. And yet, you know, there's ladies of a certain age and ladies of color. The struggle really continues.
Right.
So, honestly, that's why I love touring so much, is because all that BS that could ever stop you from doing your job or having fun, it's pretty much gone. You know, once you hit the stage, you've got all I have is my mouth and a microphone. I don't have an opening act. It's an evening with, because I have so much new material, I tend to go a little long. So I'm actually afraid to have an opening act, because I've been known to do shows that are 2 hours and 40 minutes by mistake if I'm having fun and the audience is into it. So I think, you know, that's one of the reasons I tour, and that's a way to keep any of that kind of negative nonsense out, is once you hit the stage and everybody's laughing and having fun, it sounds corny, but that's all that matters.
And I don't know if on this recent tour, but I was watching one of your videos talking about people that actually walk out of your shows, too, because they don't like the material. They might not like one of the things that you're talking about, but, you know, in a second you're going to have something different that you're going to talk about. But
oh, absolutely. And I think that that's one of the other things I love. I talk very rapidly, which is an issue I have, because I really, there's so many topics I want to get to. Right. So I have this sort of fast pace that I never meant to do, but I really, you know, like Saturday night, I just, I want to get to everything. So For example, and this is real, when I say I live next door to Kim and Kanye, I mean they're 15 feet away. Like, I don't mean they're, like, in my neighborhood or in the same city. The irony of me buying a house next door to Kim Kardashian West and Kanye Kardashian West is accidentally funny. So that's just in my act because it's my life. It's, yeah. I live next door to those two psychos. And I find it amusing. I hope they do. I don't know. You know, obviously, the Trump stuff is ever-changing. Plus, the fact that I know him is like an added bonus for me and hopefully for the audience. And, you know, the Cher thing, most of my audiences know that she and I are pals. Yeah. Maybe I'll bring a text from her to the audience. And, you know, just running into her and getting her take on the Trump stuff is, like, great because now everybody knows her take. And, you know, just everything from last weekend I had two gay movie nights. complete with Lance Bass. It almost doesn't get gayer. And we watched Whatever Happened to Baby Jane one night, mm-hmm. and then we watched Valley of the Dolls the other night. So, you know, I mean, I might do 10 minutes just on gay movie night, and it just happened last weekend. So that's all the stuff that I love to do. I love to keep current on what everybody's talking about around the water cooler, and yet I have these interactions myself that I love to bring to the stage and make it more personal.
Now, you're also constantly tweeting, and you're on Facebook, and you're using a lot of social media, which is great.
Yeah, it's become my second job. Anybody will tell you that. I'm now mastering the Snapchat, as the kids say, and I have more fun looking at myself on filters than I do really Snapchatting. Also, I don't necessarily totally get the Snapchat thing. So you do something that's supposed to be funny for 10 seconds, and then it goes away. I don't quite get it. Like, I'm doing it because my assistant hands me a phone and goes, "Say, be funny for 10 seconds," and I try to. But but yes, I will keep up with all of it because, you know, when you're in my position, you know, you gotta do whatever it takes, and I feel that way all the time. Like, it doesn't matter if I've just won an Emmy or if I'm just sitting at home in my pajamas. I just constantly feel like I've got to be working on the hustle, doing new material, staying up on everything, and I love it. The good news is I freaking love it.
Yeah, no, that's great.
But I do, back to your question, yeah. I do love a good storm out, and I get pretty excited. Now, I don't know if I'm going to get one in Humboldt because, I mean, I would say the audiences there are more progressive, mm-hmm. but I'll try. I mean, I don't feel like I've really done my job until I get a good solid storm out.
Yeah, good.
Although sometimes a storm out is just somebody kind of drunk going to get, like, going to the bathroom or something like that, which is not as fun. But, I mean, I had someone storm out and holding a Bible. Like standing in a theater holding a Bible yelling at me, which I
really?
Thought was funny because I was like, do you typically bring a Bible to a comedy show?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and by the way, I don't do like audience work. Like, so I don't want people to think if they come to see me Saturday, I'm going to be like running in the audience with a microphone going, "Hey, where are you from?
Right.
Are you from Normal Parents? I'm from Queens." Get it? You know, I think I'm just saying that if you come to my show and if you're at all offended, of course you should leave. But I would prefer that you would stay and laugh.
So, and again, you're coming to town this Saturday, August 27th, and you'll be performing downstairs at the Van Duzer Theater beginning at 7 o'clock. I have a question here from Cassandra Heseltine, who's our film commissioner. She wants to know, what is the most meaningful moment of your life? And we only have a minute or so left.
Oh, when I win an award.
Really? That was the most meaningful?
What did you think I was going to say? The birth of my baby? What are you, nuts? yes, hearing and the Emmy goes to, is there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
And I said that to my family. I went home that day and I said to my entire family, look, I like you guys. I love this Emmy. You guys are okay. This Emmy is awesome. And now I have two.
Fabulous.
Now yeah, you tell her that I'm so shallow, I would rather have a statuette than love from a human. Love is fleeting. Emmys are forever.
Okay, so you have a statuette. All right.
Oh, come on. I'm going to do New Year's Eve with Anderson Cooper again this year.
Are you? Okay.
Yes, and just so you know, I'm like kind of already starting to write down ways to shame him.
Uh-huh.
It's like a year-long process for me. Even though they don't typically hire me until much closer to New Year's,
yeah.
I'm like always working on it. taking him down to, you know, making him more among the regular people
uh-huh.
than high on his Vanderbilt high horse.
Well, Kathy, you are so funny. We're out of time. Now, you've got a new book that's coming out, right?
It's coming out. No, but you can pre-order it now.
Okay.
It's called Kathy Griffin's Celebrity Run-Ins, My A to Z Index. And I just crammed in as many celebrities as I could. I think I got to 120 from all walks of life. And, you know, it's just these run-ins. Some are funny, some are shocking, some are jaw-droppers, some are heartwarming. And I'm like become that person where I've like kind of met everybody at this point. Not everybody, but I've met a lot of people that you wouldn't think I met. And I have all kinds of wacky stories. So that comes out in November, but it's pre-order now. I did the audio book already, and it's hilarious.
As
You'll
are
love
you.
It.
I know.
So will Cassandra.
So will Cassandra. Yes, she will. I had one more question. And we're almost out of time here. These three people, you know, they had questions. Here's the one from Nan.
Okay.
Who do you want to sleep with right now?
Right now, I want to sleep with Melania Trump. Any kind of a scandal, although I don't know if that would make those, I think that maybe if I slept with Melania, even that could maybe lose some votes for them, even with theirs, I don't know. You know, his fans are very obviously angry with me. So I don't really lean that way, but I would take one for the team.
Okay.
Anything to get Trump in trouble.
Thank you.
Other than that, I'm probably just going to sleep with my boyfriend again tonight, which I do every night. We live in sin.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
We love the sin. We're big sinners.
Is he going to be here with you?
Yeah, he's my tour manager. I made him my tour manager. We're like Loretta Lynn and Boo. We've been together 5 years, and we travel the world together, and we have a great time.
Excellent. Well, keep it up.
And yes, he's 18 years younger, Katie.
Oh, good.
Just get that out of the way, Katie. I know you're judging me. How dare you?
I know. I'm bad. I can't help it. Well,
Cassandra gets me in a way you never will, Katie.
I know. That's why you guys are sleeping together. It's all great. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk with us, and we'll see you on Saturday.
You're a doll. I can't wait. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
That was Kathy Griffin again. She's coming to town. She's a two-time Emmy winner and Grammy Award-winning comedian, and she's got a book coming out, and she's bringing her tour to Arcata, California. If you want to see her perform, I've got a ticket for you. Actually, two tickets. 826-4805 or 1-800-640-5911. She's coming to town. She's performing downstairs at the Van Duzer Theater. Center Arts is bringing her to town. Thanks again to Kathy for being on the homepage today. And if you'd like to go see her, give me a call. And we're going to move on to Bioneers. Donors include AEDC Small Business Lending Center, financing opportunities for new and existing businesses on the entire North Coast. Financing can be used for startups, expansion costs, equipment, inventory, commercial property, and more. Information can be found at AEDC1.org. Thanks to everybody who submitted questions. I used all of your questions, almost all of them, so thank you. And don't forget, if you'd like a pair of tickets, I'll take a couple of calls here. I've got a couple pair of tickets. Callers number 3 and maybe number 5. Thanks.